Well, today we're wrapping up our series on what we've called a simple plan. So we don't always do handouts, but today you should have received a handout on your way in. If you did not get one of these cool little sheets, please raise your hand, wave it around. The ushers, if you can look and see, because we've got some people that did not get these, and they're going to want to have one in their hands. Because we're going to be doing a little bit of a look back as to focus on what we have been learning together over these past weeks. But then we're going to take a really good run at the last point that we've been hinting at, but have not yet talked about as of today. The simple plan is what I've titled this series, and it's really talking about evangelism. Sharing what we've received in the Lord and giving it away to others. Jesus had this beautiful thing that he said, freely you have received, so freely give. Freely you've received and freely give. And that is the whole spirit of this simple plan. Not like that we have to memorize all kinds of things or go through all kinds of courses in order to just share what we already have received in the Lord, but we just get to give it away. And right there at the top of the sheet there is a phrase that we've been using over and over again. And here it is, that God's strategy for rescuing humanity is me. It's me. I am God's plan. That what he has given me, what he has deposited in my life, what he has done in my story, wow. He's put a lot of weight on me, huh? Woo! But we get to do this together and in his power, but it's a really simple plan. And as we've been looking at 2 Corinthians, starting in chapter 2, kind of through 5, and looking at different things that the Apostle Paul wrote in there, we've been seeing that a couple of the metaphors that Paul used about how simple this is he talked about this like us being a fragrance. And if you are from Santa Maria, man, when we walk out of the church, there's a good chance you're going to be smelling somebody barbecuing right in the neighborhood. You know all about fragrance as we get that beautiful scent of red oak kissing the side of some well-seasoned tri-tip. Come on. You guys know what it is to walk out of your home or out of church and just smell that. And literally, it's that simple. God says that we are to be the fragrance of Christ, the fragrance of Jesus. And so we've asked the question, what do you smell like to the people around you? You know, do we actually smell like Jesus when we walk into work, right? Or do we have some other odors going on in our lives? Paul also used the metaphor of a letter, right? A fragrance goes everywhere, and this letter, it says, is to be read by everyone. That this message, this gospel message, the goodness of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, is to be written all over our lives so that, again, that people can just read on us what God is. Oh, we're out of the handouts. Woo, good. All right, so you be sharing with your neighbor. Husbands and wives, you share. Okay. But this letter is simple. It's like, you know, writing a Facebook post, right? It's like, it is not hard. It's just sharing. Freely you've received, now freely give it away. And so we've used a little model, and go ahead, Bree, and put it up there, that we've talked about three different ways that we freely give away what we have received, right? We talked about living the gospel, connecting people to the gospel, and then sharing the gospel. And so you can kind of write that in there. You can kind of, we gave you a little place to doodle on there. You can write and make it all fancy, live, connect, and share. But these three things are very, very important. There are three different ways that we give away the gospel to the world around us. And that first one, live the gospel, is super important because if we're not living the gospel, we have nothing to give. Because then anything that we would do or say after that becomes really hollow or, frankly, unbelievable. Because we're not living a transformed life. Living the gospel has to do with just living in a way that shows that we have gone from death to life in Jesus. And that we're not carrying around all that death in our life anymore. So all the stuff that we used to be known for, all that dead, yucky baggage, we have given it to Jesus and we're living different. We're not living perfect. We're living different. Because we have the story of Jesus that's invaded our life and is pressing out all those things that represented who I used to be in my old dead ways. We have to live the gospel. And then last week we brought out the big Legos, right? And we talked about the reality that we also get to connect people to Jesus by intentionally, with a little intention and a little effort, we're able to connect people also to the story of Jesus. And we talked about that just simply through the power of our own story. Even before we share the gospel with others and really communicate clearly the message of the gospel, we just say what happened in our own life. We talked about our but Jesus stories, right? Do you remember? It's like, I used to be like this, but Jesus is transforming my life, right? I used to be filled with hate, filled with pride. I was all ugly and messed up living in my old addicted self, my hate-filled, yucky self. But Jesus, right? Telling our but Jesus stories helps connect people like, oh, well, that's why you're a little different. That's why you're a little weird. It's not, that's right. It's I'm Jesus weird, that's all. All right? You're some other kind of weird. I'm Jesus weird. And we connect people to the gospel just by sharing our story. And we also talked about the power of invitation. That as we just invite people along on our journey, that it gives the Holy Spirit room there to just walk right in and grab that person by their heart and invite them in to journey with Jesus on their own, right? So we talked about that, the power of our story, the power of invitation, and then the power of prayer. That by praying for people, they already know we're Jesus weird, so it shouldn't be that much weirder for us to just say, hey, can I pray for you, right? And thank God for them, ask God to bless them and help them in their situation. But it's inviting in our faith right into their story and situation so we connect people to the gospel. And now we're finishing this conversation by talking about sharing the gospel, right? We live the gospel. We connect people to the gospel, but at some point we may be asked by the Lord to actually share the gospel. Open our mouths and talk about Jesus. Wow. And I just know that as soon as we get to this third one, that there are people that probably are squirming in their seat. There may have been some people realizing what we're going to be talking about today going, yeah, I'm staying at home. Right? Yeah. No. It's not, I get stage fright, and so I don't open my mouth and talk about things like Jesus. That just freaks me out a little bit. Well, listen, we're talking about a simple plan, so hopefully we're going to be able to remove some of the anxiousness about just sharing the gospel today as we would learn to lean into Jesus and share. So are you ready? Are you ready to talk about this? Let me tell you what we're not talking about when we talk about sharing about Jesus and sharing the gospel. We're not talking about getting bullhorns and going out on the street and yelling at people. Yeah, anybody ever seen that? I know that freaks me out. I think it actually freaks God out a little bit. You know, because oftentimes when we see that, it's accompanied with somebody that's kind of got anger issues. Right, and they're like taking it out in God's name, you know, on the people passing by. And so we're not talking about that, about sharing the gospel. We're also not going to freak you out and say what we're talking about is that next week, Jose, you're going to be up here preaching next week. All right, so you just better be ready, right? And Hosea's like, I know we're supposed to be, I read that thing about being in season and out of season, and we're just ready all the time, but it ain't my season, right? So we're not talking about that. We're not talking about that you have to be prepared at that level. We're talking about something much more simple. But, you know, you might also say, I don't know if people are even interested in what I would have to say about Jesus and about the good news of the gospel. But I want to show you something. There's some research that was done that researchers went and talked to 2,000 people who claimed that they did not have relationship with Jesus. And they talked to them and asked them some questions. Put up that first statistic. It's pretty amazing. 79% of people said this. Now listen, almost 80%. So this is basically 4 out of 5 people said that if they have a friend that really valued their faith, right? That's a lot of folks in this room. You value your faith. You really believe this is urgent and important, and you've seen, man, what God has done in your own life. 79% of people say if you, a friend of theirs that really values their faith, wanted to talk about your faith to them, that they wouldn't mind. That's pretty incredible. Because I think a lot of us are under the assumption that no one wants to, like, hear about Jesus. No one wants to, have someone else come and talk to them. But that's really untrue. Now, here's something that even blows me away further. And here's the other statistic. 65% of people, so this is almost 2 out of 3 people, have said no one has ever explained to them the benefits of putting their trust in Jesus. 2 out of 3 people that don't know Jesus say, 2 out of 3 say, no one's ever really explained to me the benefits of this. What are the benefits? It is what we've been talking about over these last weeks. The benefits are the gospel. The good news. The good news. So I want you to remember as we begin talking about sharing our faith, the other statistic that we've talked about is that 95% of people who have put their trust in Jesus have said, best decision ever. They said, 95% of believers say, best thing I have ever done in my life was to put my trust in Jesus. So we're talking about something that we already like, for those who have put their trust in Jesus, I realize that's not everybody in the room. Those that have not yet, man, thank you for being brave and for sitting here with us. And I believe that maybe God will even speak to you this morning as we're talking about the importance of the gospel. But 95% of us in this room, I know, would agree and just say, hey, man, best thing ever in my life. So we got to remember, we're not talking about just preference here. You know, we're not arguing with people about the best baseball team in the major leagues. I mean, why would we do that anyway? We all know it's the Dodgers. Right? So, sorry, Royals fans. Sorry. But listen, we're not talking about something that's just a preference here. We're talking about the best thing ever. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, right? So we should not fear or be concerned about talking about something that we are passionately engaged with. Here's the bottom line, and it's there on your handout for you to fill in. And Bree, you can go ahead and put that up. Here's the bottom line. If you've experienced the gospel, you can talk about it. If you've experienced the gospel, if you have received something from Jesus, forgiveness, love, life, you can now feel empowered to just talk about what you've already experienced. That's how simple it is. Just talking about what you have experienced in the Lord. Turning to 2 Corinthians, where we've been reading what Paul has said about giving away our faith, he says this. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 13, he says this. He said, we have the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures. And when people in the New Testament talk about the scriptures, they're talking about the Old Testament. And so here's what he says. We have the same spirit of faith as described in the Old Testament scriptures when it says, first I believed, then I spoke in faith. Everybody say that. First I believed, then I spoke, okay? We do this, he goes on, says, we do this because we are convinced that he who raised Jesus will raise us up with him. Woo! That's good news. That this life isn't all there is. That when we die in the body, we are still alive in Christ, right? Man, we're convinced that he who raised Jesus will raise us up with him, and together we will all be brought into his presence. And then it goes on and says, the why. Why do we believe and speak of what we're convinced of? So that more of God's marvelous grace will spread to more and more people. Do you hear God's simple plan? Freely I gave you everything that you need in life to thrive. I've given you everlasting life, forgiveness, my love, new peace, new joy in life. So as you give it away, what is it doing? It is going to more and more people. See, I think probably most people in this room, if I were to just ask the question, did someone ever share the gospel with you? How many would say, yep, somebody at some point shared the gospel with you? For me, I've shared the story. It was my mom. Right? I was really young. I was really young. I mean, people don't even sometimes believe it. I was 3 years old when my mom shared the gospel with me. I remember it to this day. So you can kind of perceive that was a God moment, right? That at 3 years, I remember. And I remember when I heard the simple story of Jesus dying for me so that I could have life forever with him. I remember the emotion. I remember crying, like just being consumed with the emotion and understanding. Something as simple as a 3-year-old understanding this. But I remember the first person that ever shared the gospel with me. How about you? See, the simple plan is that when we have received, that we give. Why? So that more and more people would be able to enjoy the good news, the best news ever, the gospel of Jesus. And he finishes by saying that not only are more and more people going to come to know, but it's going to result in an even greater increase of praise to God, bringing him even more glory. So as we share the good news, man, we are getting to participate in this plan of God's, this simple plan of freely you've received, now freely give, so that more and more people will be able to be blessed with the good news of Jesus, and that's going to result in even more glory being reflected back to the Lord himself. I love the Message translation, and I actually put one of those verses in your notes from there. It's that first verse, 2 Corinthians 4:13, because I just love the simplicity in this, like, in-your-face way that sometimes is communicated in a different translation. And this is what it says. We are not keeping this quiet, not on your life. Just like the psalmist who wrote, I believed it, so I said it, we say what we believe. And that's the simple plan. That is how we share the gospel. Just say what you believe. Come on, somebody. Just say, we're not going to be quiet about this good news that we have found. We are going to say what we believe. And it's so important that we do. It's so important that we do. It's important, all three things that we were talking about, living the gospel, connecting people to the gospel. But at some point, people actually do need to hear the basics of what the gospel is all about. And in your notes there, you'll see Romans 10, 13, and 14, where Paul is writing in another letter and says this. He says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." That's good news. That's the gospel. Man, everyone who cries out to the Lord will be saved. But he goes on and asks these questions. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? Right? How are they going to ever come to faith if they never even hear? Right? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? We have to be the tellers to say what we believe so that then other people can then begin to wrestle with that. Wow, okay, well, what you just said to me, Jose, is a little different than what I've heard before. I'm going to have to think about that. As they begin to think about what you have shared with them, what you have told them, then they have the opportunity to have the Holy Spirit come upon what you've shared and breathe life into that, where they actually begin to say, you know what, I find myself more in agreement with what Jose told me than not. I don't get this, but I think something of faith is happening in my life that did not used to be there. And as they begin to realize that the promises of God are not generic, they're not just for the world in general or nice little religious sounding thoughts, but that they're literally promises for me. Something transforms in a person's life. And elsewhere in the Bible, what it talks about is that we actually go from a hopelessness to having a hope that is starting to be ignited inside of us. Inside our soul, there is this hope that is now alive that I didn't have this before. And it's this hope that is based on the understanding that, man, this God that I've been hearing about has real promises that are alive for me. Not just for those other people, but for me. And when that happens, wow, people begin to lift their voices and to call on him and say, Jesus, I need you. I need you. But how can they call on him unless they believe? How can they believe if they've never heard? And how can they hear unless someone tells them? So how can we become better tellers? How can we just become part of this simple plan of saying what we believe? Now, there's lots of things that we could talk about, but I want to leave you today with just three ideas, okay? Three things to help us all become better tellers of the gospel. To communicate the gospel, number one, I believe it's really important that we grasp the gospel. Grasp it. And I like that word because grasping has a double meaning. One, it literally means to take a hold of. I'm going to grasp it, right? I'm going to come over, Leonard, and just grasp you, bro. You know what that means because you're a grasper. If you ever get a hug from Leonard, you'll know what grasping is all about. Bam! You're a hug. You feel that, right? And so when we talk about grasping the gospel, we talk about really get a hold of it. But grasp also has this other connotation, this other meaning. To grasp doesn't mean just to grab a hold. It means to come to a deeper understanding. So, right, like all of you high school students are in algebra or geometry or whatever, grasping a concept, right? It's important to grasp because that's what you will be tested on. And we're not going to do any tests today. But we need to grasp the gospel. Now, in past weeks, I kind of dropped this idea that when we say gospel, the word gospel is like code. And the code is for everything that Jesus has done for us. Everything that Jesus has done for me is really wrapped up in that word, gospel. So when you say gospel, it's code, okay, for everything Jesus has done for me. Everything he's done. Now, if that's where you're at on your journey with the Lord, and man, okay, I can remember, okay, the gospel is everything that Jesus has done for me. If that's all you get, good, all right? But I'm going to go to the 2.0 right here for those who are ready for just a little bit more of understanding the gospel. And I would just, it's so simple. But there are five ideas that we encounter over and over and over again when we hear about the gospel. And you turn over your handout, you're going to see these represented. And if you just put these five words up here. These five words are all throughout Scripture, all throughout the New Testament, when we're confronted with good news stories, the good news of the gospel, right? These five words: love, death, life, grace, and faith. And I want you just to think about each of these concepts right here and how they relate to the good news. Because I believe that you can't really have the full gospel if you remove one of those. You take out love, it's no longer the gospel. Because it is because of God's love that the gospel even became possible in humanity. We must start with love. It is the love of God, right, that even draws us to a place of repentance before him. It's understanding his love for us, that even when I was all jacked up, the Bible says, that's my translation, right? When I was all jacked up, God loved me anyway. It wasn't because I got my life all together that all of a sudden he goes, okay, well, maybe now you're worthy of my love. No, when I was stinking rotten, well, I was pretty young, right? I was stinking because my diaper was dirty, I guess. When I was stinking rotten 2-year-old, he loved me. But you know what I'm talking about. Because a lot of you have other stories that go a lot beyond 3 years old about being addicted and being messed up and being in prison and all kinds of different things. Suffering abuse or maybe even abusing others. And you go, how could God ever love someone like me? But that's the beginning of the gospel story. For God so loved you. For God so loved me. Wow. And then the second word, death. Death is really important because as we start to understand the gospel, we understand that because of our sin, because of our brokenness, that death was going to be the result. We were headed on a freight train, 100 miles an hour down the track towards the destination of death. But the gospel story is that Jesus died in my place. He took away that penalty of death. By hanging on the cross, he took that so that I do not have to suffer those consequences. And then we get to this third word, life. He died in my place that I might have life. Now, we a lot of times think about eternal life, right? Like, when I die, I'm going to heaven. That's awesome and that's great. But Jesus also said, I came that you would have life and have it to the full. Meaning that we're not people who like wait to heaven to experience his life. We are people of his life now. Woo! That's good news. That's the best news. Because it's not just about heaven when we die, right? It's about today, okay? Somebody, this is real cheesy, but I remember from when I was a kid, somebody said, it's not pie in the sky when we die by and by. It's steak on the plate while we wait. I don't know. Okay, something like that. It's for now. Life, real life. healing, wholeness, freedom, forgiveness, joy, peace is ours. It's part of the gospel. It's part of the gospel life. And these last two words, so important, grace. Grace, grace, grace. We read over and over that this is a gift that we could not earn, nor do we deserve. We cannot work our way into a place where we would deserve this gift. This is a gift just because God loves us and he gives it to us, like I said, even when we're all messed up. It's a gift. It is a gift. And if you take grace out of the gospel, it is no longer the gospel. And this last word, faith. We receive this gift simply by putting our trust in what God has said. When we come to that point of realizing that those promises that God made for us, right? And they're all on that sheet right there. I just put 8 scriptures right here. They're all promises. These are all scriptures that are directly related to the gospel. And what I did on there, and you'll see, just so that you didn't think I was coming up with these 5 words on my own, these 5 words are what are consistently repeated as part of what it means for the good news of Jesus to come to humanity, to come to you and to me. The good news. We need to grasp it. We need to get a hold of it. We need to understand it. And to me, those 5 things, right? Love, death, life, grace, and faith. Those are like ingredients in the gospel smoothie, right? They're all in there, and they're blended together so beautifully that not only is it delicious, but that they all interrelate with each other, because it's because of God's grace that he loved me. It's because that I put my faith in him that I can experience that life that he is offering. All of these are interwoven. It's not just linear, bum, 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 bum. It's all of these. And we need to grab that gospel smoothie and drink it. Grasp it. Allow it to invade who we are so that it just leaks out of us. So that we would be people who would tell, be the tellers, right? We say what we believe. And if we're gospel people, this is what we believe about the gospel. Second thing that we would know, that we would remember to be better tellers, right? Grasp the gospel, but in all things, trust God with this. Trust God with this telling. Listen, God, if this is your plan that I would be a teller, I'm going to just need your help. I want to trust you in this rather than entrusting my own ability. And over again, we read in the New Testament about this telling that it is not about us. It's not about how slick we are. It's not about how articulate we are. Because I might get all tongue-tied. I don't know if I have the right words. Trust me, if you're just saying what you believe, God's going to help to fill in the blanks. God is going to fill in the blanks, and he is going to give you what to say when you need to say it. What to say when you need to say it. Luke 12, 11 and 12. Jesus said these words. He said, "And when you are brought to trial in the synagogues and before rulers and authorities," and right there you're like, uh-oh, okay? When this happens, in other words, you may be drugged in front of people to talk about this hope that you have within you. When that happens, don't worry about how to defend yourself or what to say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what needs to be said. That's good news. That God, in other words, is accompanying us on this journey. It's not just up to us. that God has given his very Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to empower the telling. And so he's going to give us what we need to say when we need to say it. And if Jesus promises that when you get drugged before the authorities, like, I'm on trial for my faith, well, guess what? If we can trust him for that, couldn't we trust him to just share our faith with a friend who's not going to beat us up, who's not going to lock us up, who's not going to throw us in prison, not going to have us beaten, who's not going to, like, chop our head off? Like, just a friend. Just a friend. Do we not think that if Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit's going to teach you what to say when you need to say it with the authorities, don't you think he'd do it when you're just sharing over coffee with a friend? Saying, this is what I believe, and this is why. This is my story. Right? This is the gospel. Do you think that Jesus might come alongside by his Spirit and how we can trust him in this process? And we have also the promise that Jesus gave us. This in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, right before he goes, returns to heaven, he turns to his followers, his closest friends, his disciples, and he says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. What does it mean to be a witness? To be a teller. This is what I saw, right? That's a witness. That's what a witness does. This is what I have seen. This is what I have experienced. This is my story as it was impacted by the good news of Jesus, right? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Well, guess what? Santa Maria is to the ends of the earth. I don't know where God may call you in your lifetime to be a teller of your faith, to be a proclaimer of the gospel. But I'll tell you what, we can trust him wherever he sends us, wherever he brings us, because he has promised that he's given his Holy Spirit to empower us and to teach us whatever we need to say whenever we need to say it. Here's the last thing to remember that would empower our telling is this. Be kind. Be kind. Here's what I would tell you. Remember the golden rule. Right? You might not have ever even been in church before and you know what the golden rule is, right? Do to others what you would have them do to you. So as you go out and are telling others of this good news, make sure it stays good news. Don't flip it on people. Can I tell you? You cannot simultaneously beat up on people while you're giving them the good news. And I love the idea that it, from the quote that just says, be kind, for everyone you meet is facing a fierce battle. We need to be kind because people are going through stuff and they don't need us to come and make the good news the bad news. You know, I put on that sheet there, that very first verse on the back of the sheet that explains the gospel, John 3:16. And 17. A lot of times we stop at the end of John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But we stop there and we need to really keep going because this is the kindness of God. It expresses the grace and the love of God. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We need to be kind because we are not called to be condemners. Right? You are not God's condemnation service. right? I'm here to judge you and tell you all the things that you are doing wrong. No, just be kind. How would you want to receive the good news of the gospel? How would you want to be treated? Remember the golden rule. In fact, when I put on here, be kind, you could have just filled in any of the fruit of the Spirit. Be loving. Be gentle. Be patient, right? All those, because why? Oh, and be self-controlled. That's a good one to drop in there as well. But we need the fruit of the Spirit that is actually animating these conversations, because we are not there to bring condemnation or judgment on someone. We're just there to say, man, best news ever, and I would love for you to have this as well. I'd love for you to experience the amazing, amazing thing that I have experienced in Christ. 1 Peter 3, it's there in your notes, 15 and 16. And we'll finish with this. And if anyone asks about the hope living within you, always be ready to explain your faith, right? In other words, get a really good grasp on the gospel. If those five things help you remember, you know, those five things, they're just all wrapped in throughout the gospel, his love, his death in my place, right, so that I can have life. It's received by grace, just by faith, by just putting my trust in him. If those five things help you, that's awesome. That's awesome. Because we should always be ready to explain our faith. But listen, but do it with gentleness, he says, and respect. Respect the other person's journey. They've probably been through a lot. They're probably even right now in the middle of a fierce battle. So be kind as you share. Keep the good news the good news. As we wrap up this series, I just want to finish with this thought. Paul, when he was reflecting on this sharing of the gospel, giving away what he had so freely received, he made this observation. He says that one man plants, another one waters, but it is God who brings the growth. Can I say that again? He said that one man plants, another one waters, but it is God who brings the growth. As we share the gospel, it is not your responsibility to get people saved, right? It's not your responsibility. Our responsibility is to be the tellers, to say what we believe. It is our responsibility to live the gospel, right? To live it. Let the gospel permeate every part of us so all that dead old stuff in our life is pressed out by the work of Jesus and him redeeming just all the different parts of our life. Our responsibility is to help connect people to the gospel, share our story, invite them, right? Pray for them, allow our faith to just leak out. And we're responsible to tell. But in all of that, don't think that it's up to you to save people. God does that really well, right? You may be the one who's planting a seed, or maybe there was somebody else whose mom shared with them when they were 3 years old, but man, their life has bounced around like a ping pong ball, and they've never stayed on track with the gospel with Jesus. And so what you're actually doing is just coming along and watering what mama planted many, many years ago. Maybe you're just there reminding them, right, of things that they've heard many times. Or maybe you're going to have the joy of, they've never heard this before. Maybe they're one of those 65% of the population who doesn't yet know Jesus that says, you know what, no one's ever explained to me the benefits, the goodness of Jesus and of the gospel. Maybe you're going to get the joy of just telling someone. But no matter what your role is, God is the one who brings the growth. He is the one that causes something to spiritually come alive in people's hearts and lives and stories. So that takes some of the weight off too, doesn't it? That I can live this, I can connect people to it, I can even share about it, but thank God you are at work here. You are the one that is cultivating your life in the lives of others. Let's pray. Hey, I would really be missing out if I did not recognize that there's people in the room today that maybe you've never really understood the good news of Jesus, right? I mean, you're sitting in a church, so you've probably heard about Jesus before. But maybe you've always really assumed that the good news of the gospel was bad news for you, because maybe all you ever sensed was condemnation or judgment or that God is out to get me, and man, all my bad stuff is just like playing on some big giant movie screen in heaven, and God is pointing out to all of his angels like how ugly and rotten and bad I am. Nothing could be further from the truth. What Jesus is telling the angels right now is about how desperately he loves you, how completely and fully he loves you. In all of your story, not just the good parts, but the parts of brokenness as well, his love for you has never been diminished. The volume of his love has never been turned down. But for some right now, I believe that, man, that volume is all the way up, because you are sensing God's love for you like never before. And maybe for someone, the gospel story is making sense to you, that, wow, that those promises in God's word, that he loved me so much that he gave his life, that I could have life forever in him, and that my story can be transformed because of his love and because of what he did by going to the cross for me. I need that, and I need it today. I don't want to go another moment longer. And I do encourage you that when you sense God's love, reach out. What we read today is that how will people call out to him if they don't believe in him? I'll tell you, once you believe, call out. Call out. And again, it's simple. It's not complicated. Just to call out, because Jesus knows the cry of your heart. And he's listening. He's listening for you to simply say yes to him. To stop saying no, but to say, yes, Jesus, I receive this gift. I receive what you have for me. I receive your gospel. I receive your good news. I receive of your salvation. And if there's somebody today that just wants to say, simply say, yes, I receive. Would you do me the honor? Would you just kind of look up at me when everybody else has got their eyes closed and they're just praying? They're praying for you. They're praying for themselves. But would you just look up and just kind of flash your hand at me? Just wave at me so I can see, so I can agree with you. Because I want to agree with your yes today. Yeah, ma'am, I agree with you today. It's not just my good news. It's your good news today. Best news ever. Someone else that just wants to say today, yeah, ma'am, I agree with you. Yeah, today for you. It's awesome. Proud of you. Encouraged by you. Someone else, I miss somebody. Yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. It's awesome. So good. So good. So good.